This is RSVMB Update, episode 492, recorded Friday, November 21st, 2014. Fifina's Missing Skills. Hello, everybody. Today is Friday, and that means it's RSVMB update time once again. Joining us this week is just our favorite normal co-host, as normal as you can get with something that is RS related and so many other things that comes up. Hello.
Normal?
Yes, we are.
You're not.
Oh, yeah, well. No.
Woo!
Anyways. Hey. That's J1, J2, J3, one of the easiest and most easiest names you can type out there. So much so that, you know, it's very hard to get a typo on that unless, you know, you're
Shane
pecking all over the keyboard and you manage to miss something or typing with one hand. But anyways, I digress. That's a story that we can talk about at a later date, perhaps, but anyways, this week's RS update is something that many people enjoy and has been around for a long, long time. And that is the treasure trail. Not the kind of treasure trail last week that Mr. Bistro and I discovered, but more on that in the clip show later on in December. This is updating the treasure trail's little, I don't know, would you call it a mini game or distraction and diversion?
It's considered distraction and diversion.
Okay. Well, anyways, Treasure Trail's got probably one of the biggest updates it's received since the last batch of stuff was added, I think, in 2009. The main headline is 20 new trails, bigger hauls of loot at the end, and all new interesting rewards. So, 20 new trails that you can, you know, go on and discover. Not really anything to say there. Everything is, you know, just as it is with clue scrolls. Use your common sense. Use a coordinate finder like on our map at rsbnb.com/map. And away you go. Celtic knots, easy too. Once you learn the methods of doing them. You have any trouble with Celtic knots?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, if you get stuck, you can just look up the algorithm for finding them, and you get them within a good number of clicks, and they're really not too bad. Other things that we have today are reward rerolls. So if you complete three trails of the same tier, you get a chance to reroll your reward. I think this is nice, because how many times have we been in a situation where we're doing a level 3 treasure trail, and, you know, you get, oh boy, the rune kite, the dragonhide chaps, black dragonhide chaps, mind you. Maybe a U composite bow, and, oh, who knows, some purple sweets, or maybe even a rune plate body and whatnot. That just feels rather useless, doesn't it?
Sometimes, hey, you know, it's quick money if you get it at the right level, it's doing it really quick.
Yeah, but, I mean, even then, it's not exactly a good thing. And, you know, lots of people have resorted to dropping the Treasure Trails level 3 ones, at least, just because they don't even feel it's worth the time. And the chance of getting something rare, like a Third Age or Robin Hood hat, is astronomical. So,
usually for people like you and me, who, if we want to get a Robin Hood hat, which is considered a level 2, you have to...
Robin Hood's level 3. The Ranger Boots are 2.
Oh, okay. So when they get the Ranger Boots level two scroll treasure trail scrolls, you may get some of those emoticon type clues where you have to grab wear certain items, and I still have a nice chunk that's just sitting there because I have nowhere to put it because I may need it for a treasure trail.
Yep, same here. Most of those items are in my quest items tab, items from quests that I wanted to keep or, you know, just had a very important use in one of the quests, the sleds in there. And yeah, we keep these treasure trails items around, but one of the rewards, updated rewards from this, is that you can actually skip certain clues now by using some tickets that you can actually get from the clues themselves. And lo and behold, one of them is to skip an emote or a costume clue. So that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, you know, yeah, like, I think I have most of the level 3 ones in my bank, just as you do. But if you're doing a level 2 or a level 1, I mean, I don't think you'd do a level 1 this day and age, but
people
never
probably
know.
Do level 1s when they're, you know, leveling up.
Yeah, and plus the god pages are worth it too, which you can get from the level 1s. So that,
well, god pages are good. They're good. They're worth a decent amount of money still.
Yeah, and I think with the skipping tickets, I will do my 1s and 2s now, just because of that. So I'm happy about that, really happy about that, actually. I know I was doing a level 2 a couple months back, and I got some thing where you needed a piece of black armor, and the thing wasn't even buying on the Grand Exchange. So I basically just put the clue down and, you know, completely forgot about it, went and got a level 3 clue, and that was it. So very nice to see that in here. You can also get a trimmed Amulet of Fury with 10% better stats than the regular version. I mean, that's not that much, but I guess it's okay.
Hey, you know, it's like the trim version of Glory.
Yeah.
Give that much either, but why not?
Effigies on Hard and in Elite Trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, those are rare enough. Explosive Barrel, Combat Ready Cape that causes 1 in 3 auto attacks to set off a spectacular explosion.
I wonder if they actually do damage or just for cosmetic.
I'd say it's cosmetic, and, you know, it's surprising we didn't see something like that coming from Solomon's.
Let's see, cosmetic capes on a sack of effigies. That has to be... that's a lot of effigies in a sack. Or a backstab cape.
Yeah.
Backstab cape, I'm thinking it's just going to be a sword through your back.
Maybe.
I haven't seen it yet. Let's take a look.
Yeah. But some of the prices on these things, like, for example, the cape and whatnot and the backstab thing, you know, the backstab cape, 500 million is the starting price on the GE. Can you believe that? Let's see what the effigy one is. Probably the same thing, yeah. 500 million, and they've been out for a couple days, and, you know, they haven't changed, so... I'm guessing they're either stupidly rare or people aren't selling them on the exchange, which would make sense being, you know, such
hybrid armor.
Such oh, interesting. What level?
Oh no, 0.
Okay. Fun weapons, suitcases and briefcases in main and offhand varieties. Okay.
Huh, the cape is interesting. So it came with a bunch of sword, axes, and arrows that are sticking through your back.
Huh. Okay. I don't know. I'm probably not...
Stab, stab, stab.
Yes, yes, that would be the case for that. And, I mean, I'm fine with my farming cape as it is. And, I mean, I don't see the need to have one of these, aside from maybe, you know, just showing off that you got it on a clue or you can spend that kind of money to get it. So we'll have to see what happens with these, but I imagine they'll be genuinely appreciated, you know, in the same way that the calves and all the other apparel items you can get from the clue scrolls are. The suitcases and briefcases, yeah, we already talked about that. Now here comes the most controversial part of this update. Dyes to change the look of your level 90 weapons and armor.
Yay!
There's a big but with this, though.
What's the but?
It makes your Drygor weapons non-tradable.
Well, you want them forever anyway.
Well, maybe, but what if you like? What if something better comes out at 95 and you want to sell it, right?
High Alkit? Actually, probably can High Alkit anyway.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about, you know, telling somebody to High Alk. A Drygor or something like that. That seems like a really silly thing to do.
I think most of those can afford it.
Well, maybe. Third Age die is 1.2 billion, so for Third Age armor. Shadow die from the... I'm not sure what that one's used for. And the Barrow's die is 400, and the Shadow die is 800 million. So it seems like these prices, you know, were arbitrarily set, and remains to be seen if these are the right prices, because there has been no movement on the exchange at all for these. And, you know, considering, you know, the price of a Third Age die, if you get one of those, you know, that's quite a lot, considering 1.2 billion GP. And then if we look at, say, the price of a party hat, you're halfway on your way to a party hat, really. I mean, you could probably trade that die for a purple party hat if you want. Just like throwing that out there.
People like to customize.
Yeah. I wonder what this looks like. Let me have a look-see, see if I can find anything on the wiki about this. Because, you know, it just seems like something you'd really want to look at before you make the investment on it or you sell it. So let's see if we have any pictures here on Google Images. There's an image from Reddit, but I don't know if I believe that that's actually what it's going to end up looking like. Well, maybe. Hard to say, really. I don't trust the source, but anyways, let's see if the official wiki. No, see, the official wiki doesn't have any portraits what this looks like either. So you really got to think before you use these, making them untradeable. And I know we had a question about this a while back when this update was being teased. And I think the thought that I had was the same as yours, is that if you're having a level 90 plus weapon, you know, chances are you're going to use it for something, right? And you're not going to immediately want to sell it. So I think in that way it's okay. But, you know, maybe there should be a way to sell these back by maybe giving a cleaning cloth similar to the one you used to be to clean spears and daggers of their poison, or paying some price to maybe, I don't know, the clothing person in Varrock to remove the dye for you. That might be an interesting option there as well as a money sink. So there's two options I think that, you know, could be used to get rid of it, though I don't think it's absolutely required. What do you think?
Go for it.
No, but should they be, you know, able to be tradable or not?
Well, if you dye them, you're personalizing it for yourself because you're dyeing it for a specific reason. So you're trying to, you know, make your sword very red. Well, it's for your own personal taste. You're not trading a red sword to someone else just because something along gets better. You personalize that sword for yourself or whatever piece of item it is. And
all right,
if you want to make it tradable, you know, they could do kind of maybe could probably do like another very, very cheap dye that has the ability to take it off in the future.
Yeah, there's an option.
That's not uncommon in many MMOs. Or, you know, something like that along those lines. Or you could also do as a money sink where, oh, you want me to remove the die, pay me blah, blah, blah. And usually if you have 90 plus gear, usually that 1 million or so, depending on the item, isn't really much of anything for you.
All right. Sounds good. And also, Fallen Stars, increasing in size with the Trails tier, so we can get some bonus XP from it now. And, you know, I much prefer this way of awarding bonus XP, you know, compared to just handing it out willy-nilly, so I'm happy about this. Overall, it's a good update. I did an Elite Clue Scroll yesterday, you know, just to test this out, and I got, for the record, you ready for this?
Okay.
You're gonna like this. Two Dragon Stones, Taibo Wani Teleports, Water Talismans, and 10 Rune Bars.
Ooh, water tallies.
Yeah. And the rune bars and the dragonstone. So everything that I got was useful. So I felt really good about that compared to, you know, wanting to just go to the G and sell half the stuff that you get, right? So overall, very good. I got to give this update a 4 out of 5. As you guys know, 5 out of 5s are reserved for very high-end updates.
Yeah, usually those updates involve a very quest that made us go, oh my god. Regicide, remember way in the back? Back in the day?
Yeah, I don't know if we would have had the podcast around for that, but that would have definitely been one of them for the big thing that it revealed. Anyways, moving on to the second part of this week's update. Player Examine. Do you remember how many times we said that it would be very, very nice to have the option of saying, oh, let's go and set an examine info on us. What would your examine info say? So we can finally do that.
Let's see. So anyway, you control how much information is given out on your examination screen. Set a status such as away from keyboard, personal message, choose whether to prevent others from viewing your worn gear, combat stats, skill level, etc. If you're looking for a quick and easy way to introduce yourselves, or I wonder how many achieve an exceptional awesome outfit, these tools are sure to come in handy. One I like is actually the whole skill, show what skill, all your skills kind of things are.
Very useful for dungeoneering, right?
Well, back in the day, they let you do it. Yeah, I don't know why they decided to remove it. But there have been a couple of times when like I said we're doing a high-level dungeon, and so I invite someone that has the dungeon level to do it. But it's a leecher who is level 1 in everything trying to get 100 dungeoneering by leeching off everyone.
And this part is a part of the privacy, right? So you do need to have the privacy option as public for that. And if you're doing dungeoneering, then that's something that you should do to let your party people know what your stats are. So that is a caveat going into this, is that you need to make sure that...
Well, on the flip side, though, if people actually put in the time, not that hard to actually go back onto RuneScape website, go into the highest scores, and look up all their stuff. But
yeah,
I just find it easier now is just to do a quick peek of their skill total, if they have it on, or their combat level, if they have it on, and set my dungeoneering level at a level that I want them to be at, and then move it down from there.
Yep. And we also got statuses such as AFK, which is good. Here to help is another one. Bank standing, nothing, that sort of thing.
Bank standing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I wonder, you put away from keyboard, will they log you out? I think they should. I don't know. I'm wondering if you say you put yourself away from keyboard, maybe some things they don't log you out, but that's just me.
I don't know. I mean, 5 minutes is already a good enough time to get up and go to the bathroom, you know, so you can just set it like that.
Well, in a way, the idea behind the logging you out was to stop people from gaining entry and to kind of stop bots. And since not all, but most bots are slowly disappearing and or going away, you know, assuming you're not sharing your account in the library, maybe putting away from keyboard will allow you to stay in the game a little bit longer or something.
Yeah, and I mean, above all else, the personal messages are really nice. The ability to finally be able to, you know, set that. You want to take a crack at what mine says?
May the force be... No. Live long and prosper?
No. No.
To hell with Star Wars?
Nope, but that's a good one. It is actually Farmer.
Okay.
Farmer, host of RSBNB Update, and fansite co-owner, ask me for more info with a little smiley face at the end. So I've turned it into a way of advertising the show and whatnot for people that want to click on me. And if they want to know more info, I'll talk to them. And, you know, we can spread the good that way.
I've been busy, as you have known for the past week. So out of curiosity, if you're in a very crowded place and suddenly you right click on somebody and, you know, you essentially grab one, but instead you get like 500 of them all in one spot, how does that look on your screen?
Well, they did something here with this, and they actually removed the right-click report option. So examine replaces report, so the context menu is not too long.
Yeah. Well, I used to just right-click on people and report them that way, because we're just doing their chat now.
Yeah, and I mean, that used to be a very important thing for bots, and, you know, not so much anymore, but still, I mean, for chat and stuff, I guess you could just right-click on the chat and that would do it as well. So it's not really that much of an issue. But interesting thing to note that if you put bad words in the examine info, it will filter them out depending on your filter settings, your profanity filter. So I don't know if that's something Jagex wants to look into or if that's by design, but that is just something to throw out there that if you want to try and put bad words in, they will be filtered.
We have the Orb of Oculus next. They made some improvements to it.
Oh yeah, this is a big update. I mean, it used to feel as though, you know, it was kind of finicky to use, right? And it wasn't exactly the smoothest experience, let's say. But it's completely changed now. The orb is completely smooth. You don't need to look into it. The controls make a lot more sense. Simple movement with WASD and R and F and the arrow keys to move it up and down and pan the camera with the arrow keys, of course. You can also move the camera with your mouse, so that's a nice option as well. But yeah, it's really great. I can imagine having lots of movies created with this. The only thing is, I don't see any way to have the same sort of presets, you know, where you could set up a pan so it would start in one area and then move to a different area. So that is one thing that's missing that I guess if the community wants, it could probably be brought back.
Okay.
I got a really nice screenshot of the Cruis farming area with it that you can find on the Twitter, and I'll put a link in the notes. I also used it to spy on someone in the opposite sector of the Elf City on the Saren posts for agility. So quite a few interesting little uses for that right there. But yeah, very nice.
All right.
Take us through some tweaks and fixes, why don't you?
Okay, well, before we do this, let me go through this one more time. A number of issues with Force of Saren has been fixed. Weapon overrides can now be displayed over any weapon of the same combat style. Young Minds is this week's featured Well of Goodness charity. Ask them questions in their tweet chat. And read that one already. And all right, now for tweaks and fixes. Let's see what we have here. So, tweaks and fixes. Sanity Reaffirming Teddy from Death Store Halloween event is back as an override for an offhand magic weapon. Pick your teddy from the Solomon store.
I thought that was funny. A magic weapon.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. We have the Motherlode Maw is now more likely to give potion recipes. The of the Merrily title requirement has been lowered from 200 to 50 Harmony Moss harvested. Harmony. All right, I was like, that looked weird. Let's see. Chance to unlock worker outfit and the four heaven emotes from heaven jelly cores has been increased. Spicy new is now actually spicy.
Hang on. I got something to say about the Heffin agility course.
You love it? You hate it?
I do like it. And it's going to sound crazy, but that's completely different. I actually find the agility course not grind-worthy, and it's not too bad. You know, I'm still there trying to get a crystal seed, or a crystal acorn, rather. But yeah, I have got all four of these emotes and all the book pages before this change. So I guess this is a welcome change, because I know there's some people out there who were tearing their hair out at the chance of getting all these emotes. So that's good. Anyways, continue.
Okay. Let's see. Spicy stew is now actually spicy when awarded from the Heaven Agility course. I don't get what that means, but maybe you do.
Basically, it was given out the spicy stews, except they had no spice in them.
Okay. Let's see. Can that create a Beast of Burden present that can be loaded on its own or with other presets? Sorry, create Beast of Burden preset that can be loaded with its own or with other presets.
You know what this means? You know what this means?
PVM is going to be huge.
No. If you're runecrafting with the Abyssal Titan, all you need to do is just press this preset, and then, you can fill your pouches up, of course, from the bank, but when you press this preset, it will load everything up. Then your Beast of Burden's done.
Well, here's the thing, though. I haven't tried it, but if you make a preset with all of them filled, wouldn't they fill up anyway?
All the pouches? No, they don't.
Oh, okay. That's simple.
I wish they did, but they don't.
But it's simple to fill them up really anyway.
It's just simple right-click options. And, you know, that was a good update whenever that was with the whole runecrafting thing a year and a bit ago with RuneSpan, probably. So...
Okay.
Nice little ninja fixes this week. Anything else from the patch notes?
It's no longer possible to walk into the cliff of the Heaven District.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
An older dev animation has been added when dying in Legacy mode.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Let's see.
I guess you're good
there
then.
There is now a left click option to take slime from the ectofungus slime pool. Yay!
Who uses that anymore?
I did.
Oh, okay.
But then again, that was before I found out that, oh man, I didn't realize that double XP doesn't stack with this, and I did all that for nothing. I was like, that's why I ended up having like 600. I think what was it? 600,000 worth of prayer double bonus XP because I thought it would stack. It wouldn't. Only you stack with the altar at the house. I was like, man. So now, the funny thing is, you remember during double XP weekend, I was grinding at Frost Dragons for a little while, getting all the bones. And even right, I used it all up, got 99. I still have over 170 left. 170,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with this anymore. Can't do anything.
Yeah, just wait until Vic comes back and trade it back. Because, you know, you don't need to get extra prayer XP. That skill's expensive enough.
I'm done, so.
Okie dokie.
I'm done.
Polling update. This week, just a simple reaction survey pertaining to the treasure trails. 29% enjoyed it. 14% okay. 4% did not like it. 41% want to play but haven't, and I don't want to play, 9%.
So I didn't like it. It's probably those who didn't get anything decent or don't like treasure trails at all. The 4% is for ones that don't like and never tried it or didn't get anything good. The 9% is probably like, I don't care for it at all, and I hate treasure trail and anything new from Jagex. The 29% is probably like, oh my god, something really cool. The one that was okay was, decent loot. And the ones I want to play but haven't played yet, but for different reasons.
For what reasons?
Different reasons. I don't know. Too busy, can't do it yet. Can't get one yet. Don't feel like doing level 1. I want to try and get a level 2. I'm doing questing. I'm leveling up for questing. Or blah, blah, blah.
I actually got a story later about my level 3 glute scroll, but we'll save that for the end of the show.
I thought you said that, right?
No, it's a different story.
Okay, and you want to take this?
Yes.
The Heart of Stone, the new quest that is coming out next week, I believe, that delves into the elder gods and the stories behind
them. We get to be explorers again.
You're Dora?
No.
You actually got what that meant? Bravo.
Well, I see on the TV listings, you know, where it says on PBS, Dora the Explorer is on, you know?
Bravo. Anyway, this is supposed to be a new, very lore-intensive quest It's supposed to be relatively
intermediate.
Long. Yeah.
Intermediate combat as well. So that should be interesting to see, combined with puzzles. Sounds like my kind of quest, really. Lots of exploring, lots of lore, discovering something new. So should be a good quest indeed. I'm so happy to be an explorer again on here with this.
And the thing is also the... Let me see if I can get the requirements for this aren't too bad, although you have to do some of the
Like 25 rune crafting or something like that.
Very low level ish. And
you need to have completed Rune Mysteries and Carnelian Rising. That quest was annoying. That was the one with the little brat. That was the one with the little brat.
More. Can't remember.
The little brat in Ardoin who wanted to go into the sewers.
Oh, that one.
The spoiled brat.
Didn't we want to kick him really bad?
Yes, we did.
Well, at least it didn't ask for one small favor. All right.
Hang on. And also, I think that's the game with the quest with the RuneScape fantasy game. So, yeah. Yes, that is the quest. Using a whip or feather on the person gives a message. RuneScape isn't that sort of fantasy game. Alrighty, so we look forward to that, and as you know, as it being a quest, Earth will probably be with us next week, so you can get excited or brace yourselves for that, whatever you think. Okie dokie. Moving on to questions now. We got a whole bunch of them this week, three of them, and they're all very text intensive, so it looks as though the listeners are wanting to test our reading comprehension, so I will begin. The first one is from Parnassius.
Question that they proofread.
Hi, guys. There's been some discussion in a group I was in a few days ago about allowing Iron Man accounts to trade between each other for limited transactions. I am still undecided about it, but it was an interesting idea. How do you feel about it, and do you think it would detract from what Iron Man All is about? The group felt that accounts could buy certain armors and the like at a preset price, or have a shop open where a player could sell the item at a price and another could purchase it at a marked up price, and only for items that could be produced by the players themselves. A buy limit of 10 items per day could also be set, but it could allow players to get a few herbs, make a potion that they need in a hurry without allowing them to buy 1,000 and then essentially make the skill buyable. Things like dragon hatchets and pickaxes and God Wars armors and the like, which are monster drops, would not be allowed to be traded. It would probably be hard to implement, but I thought it raised some good arguments. Thank you for taking the time to answer my question, and hope you all have fun in Gilinor. That's from Parnassius.
From what I remember, depending on what happens, if they either manage to get a lot of money somehow or do some drop trading is kind of gone in the wayside now, but anyway, people have kind of like got their other account, sold something to the general store, and then they buy it back with the Iron Man account. You're really just cutting off the middle man. But Shane, what do you think first about letting them trade?
I think it kind of defeats the idea of Iron Man, and I wouldn't, say this is a good option, because, I mean, we need to look at what has happened in the past. I'm actually going to cite Ars Old School here for this example. Old School came out. It was supposed to be a 2007 time capsule version of it. The players wanted updates. It started with small updates, mainly quality of life things like anti-bot protection, that sort of thing, and that snowballed into other things becoming, adding on to it things that, weren't in the initial game, which kind of defeats the initial purpose that Jagex said when they were putting it out there. So I think we need to be leery of that if we start making changes to Iron Man, it opens up the door to future changes to Iron Man. And the good thing about Iron Man right now is that it's hard, it's pure, in the way that what you see is what you get. You cannot trade between people, and that is what makes it Iron Man. So if you slowly start opening the door to these kind of things, it's a question of what happens in the future, and I doubt Jagex has any specific design documents on what kind of changes can be made to Iron Man in this way. Because as of right now, they don't actually have changes to what makes a cape requirement a completionist or a trimmed completionist requirement. That document has not been written yet, so I don't think they would have something like that in terms of Iron Man. So that's why I'm leery of allowing that to happen. Now, on the topic of shops, I think that's a perfectly good idea and should be brought into the main game, because as we all know, general stores right now are places you give things where you don't want and you just want to get some quick GP from them, things you can't sell in this exchange, and maybe you don't want to elk it. So I think this might be an interesting to look at and maybe explore a bit more in depth to, you know, making shops relevant again.
Hmm. Okay. I don't think they should really trade. What's the point? You're supposed to be doing everything by yourself. Usually, if you know, most people who are Iron Man are already veterans, they kind of know the game almost inside and out. And not exactly too difficult for them to find ways to, you know, weasel them through to get what they need.
Yeah. And I mean, what you ultimately have to realize is that later on in the game, say you have an Iron Man account that manages to access Priftiness, that account will have access to the farming store, the herb store and whatnot, all those high level things there that have been created in that fashion, that you can buy these things from the store, you know, just for a quick bit when you need them in a pinch. And that's what stores are for.
Right.
So I think that pretty much covers it, unless there's anything else you'd like to add.
I'd like to add about this one. Let's see. Anything else about this? I guess if... let me see. Nah, I got nothing really to add to this. I'm thinking of some things about trading with other people, but that just opened up can of worms, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But yeah, that's about it. So stay single, stay solo.
Alrighty, next one.
Next one. Well, okay, this one is from. This one was from RT Phone Dense. Hey Shane and Chucky, so I have a fair few questions, but keep it brief. I'll ask most of them this week. I won't ask all of them this week. I thought of these after listening to the show last week. So I'll rattle them off and post questions that I've been meaning to ask in the past or at a later time for another episode. RS related. Shane, last week you mentioned how you would like fishing in Perthinus. Name the skills that weren't included in Elf City and how would you implement them in Elf City type of way. Missing skills are fire making, fletching, fishing, cooking, thieving, runecrafting, and hunter. Tech related question. Last week you also mentioned an app that practically acts as a scanner for an iPhone. I'm a manager at a butcher shop that needs to communicate on a daily basis with two other shops within the same company. Stock list gets complete each day, and we transfer stocks between the shops regularly. Generally, we fill our forms, order what we need for the next few days through a secretary. As both me and other managers are a bit of a younger generation, there a way we fill out our preset stock list on our iPhone and share them somewhere where we can edit and view online? And random question, what's your favorite thing Tricky has said / done that made you cry with laughter? I can't remember the exact conversation, but somewhere along the lines of mini USB had me rewinding the podcast many times. We can forget the Superman pose. Cheers, guys! What was the Superman pose?
I don't remember. It was something to do with using the washroom.
Superman pose? As I remember, I was thinking of Captain Morgan.
Okay, we'll talk about that after. You know, it's really hard to think of all these skills at the same time, so I'm gonna do the ones that are on the top of my head. You know, fire making is interesting because it's such a simple skill as it is, and I think...
You do have that bond on your bond.
Yeah, so... In a way, that's kind of covered there. Maybe, I don't know if the elves would do this, or this is an elven thing, but maybe fire breathing? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? No?
I wouldn't know. I don't think elves would do fire breathing. I don't know. Yeah, elves are trying to do more mystical thing. I'm kind of thinking of maybe they'll fire. I can't think of anything with fire really with elves. They're not really associated with it. Unless you do, yeah. So I got nothing with that one.
Okay. The bonfires are pretty much all I think we can do with the skill. The only other thing I can think of is, you know, maybe going down the track of combining fire making and wood cutting somehow. But wood cutting and farming were already tied together. So maybe get experience for burning down a forest and clearing it and rejuvenating.
Burning down a forest.
Yeah.
You can't burn down a forest as elves. They're all one with nature. They're all hippies
true.
With 20 years.
Okay, but... so in that regard, fire making wouldn't make it in then.
Yeah, that's bonfire. I mean, you can say, you know... You can do flaming cocktails.
Okay.
I also like to drink too. I mean, why not? I mean, no human has ever invented that. I'm sure a flaming cocktail with fire coming out of it will be make for an interesting, invigorating drink. Probably one of those drinks that can like give you higher constitution for a short time.
Yeah. Okay. Fletching. I mean, you could do crystal arrows and whatnot, but remember the crystal bow already fires its own arrows, so that's kind of out. Throwing weapons are done with the crystal singing, so that's right there. So I guess that's why fletching's not there. Maybe some sort
really,
of fletching
I really
thing.
Think fletching should be there though.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, they're elves. They're supposed to be renowned archers. That's why they made a crystal bow.
Exactly. But the question is, how do you combine crystal singing and fletching? I mean, that would have to be the extent of the fletching involvement, would be the crystal singing for
it. You could do something with magic and imbuing powers to bows. What I'm just thought in my head that they were to try and combine fletching, maybe. Remember, the idea is that you cannot hear elves sing because of such a high pitch. So maybe somehow what you need is some special equipment that can enchant a bow, and depending on what you use to enchant the bow after you make it, like, you know, it can only be self-made or something. Depends on what attribute you give it. This one gives higher accuracy. This one hits longer.
Okay.
This one health protects
you. There
you
go.
Back online. That's...
Yeah, so basically expand the bows with the, you know, arrow tips, crystal arrow tape. Tips, you know, dragonstone arrow tips, all those ones, just take them up another level. Kind of like the potions.
And in theory, they can make kind of like a crystal bow where they don't use arrows, you just have charges, and one of the charges just drops dead, disappears.
Yeah, and that's what we got now.
Or recharge in a way, but I think disappearing would be better.
Okay. Fishing.
They're not really fish hungry people, in my opinion. They've always been damn hippies eating salad. No, it's true.
Well, I mean, have we seen what they eat? I don't think we have.
There was the blocked little lunch caravan while back during the quest. But fishing, I mean, they're not in an area that's really conducive to fishing. They're in the middle of a forest, unless they're going to catch freshwater trout, I guess. But not much there.
Yeah, I mean, what you could ultimately have is you could have freshwater stuff coming out of the big waterfall there. And then from that you have gigantic leaping fish that you catch and you get fishing XP. And it's maybe based on fishing and tied in with agility somehow, perhaps. There's an idea. Kind of take the barbarian fishing to, you know, the ultimate level. That might be something interesting to do with that, because when you think about it, the water sources are all down at the very bottom of the forest, and the city is suspended, so you do need to take that into account. Cooking?
Flaming cocktails. Easy. Done.
Okay.
Or Lembas bread.
What?
Lembas bread.
What is
one
that?
Mouth, one bite can fill a grown man.
Oh, okay. But, you know, maybe the same thing also with cooking recipes, because cooking herb lore kind of thing, elven recipes that heal and provide, you know, maybe some other effects that aren't necessarily stat boosting that you don't exactly find in the juju potions.
In theory, you know, kind of like maybe they introduce some new herbs, like, you know, the whole munching. We can grow rosemary in the flower pots and stuff. Maybe instead of just having them used as ways to, you know, protect your crops in the surrounding area, maybe have them be like, if you put rosemary on this thing, prepared it this way, it gives you a slight little bit more boost or something. And the rosemary is stackable, so it's not like a total like 14-14 altogether. It's one, it's all stacked up.
So like a stackable cooking thing then, kind of like the mining. Okay.
Put some oregano and some rosemary, a touch of mint, two slices of tomato. Wow, you don't like tomatoes?
Yeah, no, not really. But
really?
No.
No wonder you hate ketchup.
Well, I don't actually like ketchup. It's just tomatoes.
That's what I just said.
But I do like ketchup. Okay. Thieving, we don't need to talk about. That's already in there. Each clan has things you can thieve from AFK. It's very nice. Runecrafting, soul altar, simple soul altar at the bottom of the forest. That would have been the obvious thing.
Were we all
obvious
kind of
thing.
Expecting a soul altar?
Yeah.
Well, we're waiting for that soul altar to get out already. I was like, but then you think about it, there's really no use for soul runes right now. At least not a lot.
Yeah. And, I mean, it would have been a good time to add the soul altar and maybe some little runecrafting boost to as a part of the elf city, maybe atop the Tower of Voices, up even above Saren's little room there. Because if you think about it, the city grew up from the forest. And if the altar was on the floor in the beginning, it would ultimately come up, right? So I think the soul altar would have been a good thing to do. And maybe with some advanced runecrafting stuff that isn't exactly RuneSpan and caters towards traditional runecrafting instead. Because remember, at some point in the future, those Saren spells are going to come out, and I bet that's a way of reintroducing useful soul rune stuff into game.
But also the other thing is, you know, remember a long time ago we were reading somewhere that in theory, as we are siphoning out the things in RuneSpan, we're technically siphoning out where we have a finite source of rune essence and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking, the elves could introduce a way where we can either replenish the rune essence stuff and rune span and everything else as we're doing our stuff. You know, you get something. No, no, just part of lore is what I'm beginning at.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I think
like
that changes, but just like part of what, like, I'll teach you some new how to siphon from RuneSpan without blah 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 blah, and only thing we only benefit we get is we get a little more RuneCrafting XP out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, out of all the ones we've mentioned so far, I think the RuneCrafting one is the best build, so that's good. Hunter.
Hunter? I don't see Hunter with in that city. What are you going to do? Catch rats?
Well, there are no rats.
Exactly! Unless you want to catch butterflies with your Hellcat, there's not much to catch there. And, you know, the thing is that you really hunt effectively. You need wide open space and be able to, you know, stalk your prey and everything else. That city isn't designed for stalking. You gotta go outside. I mean, outside has a huge hunter area and all that stuff, so it's on the skirts of it.
I'd like to see something in there with hunter, because hunter is one of my most annoying skills. I think on one of the polls I did vote hunter, if I remember correctly, so too bad. Anyways, that was a nice question. Now on to the part about the tech related thing. You basically have two options here. If your forms are PDF or Microsoft Office based, or can go into a format like that, basically Microsoft has made free the Office Suite for iPad, iPhone, and Android. So there's an option right there if your forms are compatible with those pieces of software. Just use those, and then you can share them up through OneDrive, which is free, Microsoft's cloud storage solution. And the other option is to use Google Drive and use their spreadsheets, forms application, and stuff like that. And anybody who has access to the web or one of these devices as well can access it. So there's your two options right there. And without knowing more about the specific forms and how they work, it's really hard to provide a good idea. But that's in general the easiest way to go. And if they're PDF-based and they are not compatible with that, I think there are some pretty good apps on the App Store for filling out forms PDF-wise. So have a look on the App Store for that.
Okay. How many times I made you laugh so hard that we had to stop the show for a while? That was a long time.
Yeah. You know, I think looking back, one of them, you know, what was it? It was about some quest thing that we were doing, and it was Star Trek related in some way. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was there.
Like Journey? Or?
No. It was a quest. It was the time that we did the reference a couple seconds in.
Yeah, that was like a little record for both of us, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Other things are, do you remember that pick of the week you did with the people on it? The important people of the 20th century? Yeah, the art.
Right.
With all the world leaders and bad people on it.
You just love Bush with the telescope, didn't you?
Yes, yes. Because you know who he was looking at, right?
Mm-hmm. Hussein or Bin Laden?
Yeah, he was looking in the direction of Saddam Hussein. Do you remember what that was called?
The photo?
Yeah.
Top 20 people of the 20th century, something like that? It was... No, not 20th century, because they had a whole bunch of top 100 people, and there was a camel in there.
Yeah, what was the camel for?
Oh, it linked to Michael Jackson.
Oh. Yeah, it was the People of Influence painting. Just Google People of Influence painting and you should be able to find it. It's still up on the internet. Lots of very, very nice stuff in there. So it's from cliptank.com. That's the URL that you are looking for. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are the two I'm going to go with. Those are the two that jumped out right away. So aside from scraping my mind, that's all I got for this.
Well, I do remember one time, I remember this a long time ago because I did this one on purpose. I was just reading off a question from Banzai, and I ended up saying Bosnia at the end, and you just laugh your butt off. It was like long, long time ago.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, you were laughing so hard that we had to stop for a little while, and then later on you played the national anthem of the country. I was like, And the thing was, as I remember, you thought I did it on accident. I was like, no, I did that on purpose because I knew that would get you rolling on the floor, and I was right. See? I'm doing that right now.
Yes! Alrighty. Thank you. Thank you, RT Fondance. The next one is from MageGuy08. Do either of you remember the lunar spell StatSpy? And with the release of the player examine info, this has arguably become one of the most useless spells in the game, although it was rather useless beforehand. With this in mind, do you think that there will be any spells in the future that will be rendered useless by an update? Also, what do you think about the price of the new dyes from the treasure trails? Personally, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people are paying hundreds of millions of coins just to change the color of an item. Thanks, Magic.
Okay, first things first, stat spy is not only on people. Actually, many sites actually use that because they can spy on monsters or bosses, and it actually tells them what their hit points are and all that many quick information on the screen for them to put onto their website. Although I guess now you can just go on to the RS official wiki and in theory look it up, but if you were trying to calculate everything, doing hands-on, that's not bad. So it's not useless. They're still used for mostly for sites who want to know something. And stat spy, man, I still wonder, maybe I should change to Luna when I'm dungeoneering and maybe see how that works.
Maybe. It's not entirely useless, like you said, because it can be used on NPCs and whatnot. So let's not forget that. But things that might become useless in the future, I think the biggest thing that has been a victim of that has been the teleports. Because there's most places you can get to now with just a lodestone rather than actually teleporting there using the magic spellbook. Granted, you are closer for some places like the Grand Exchange, the Watchtower, your player-owned house, even though it's only a few paces if you're in Yanil. But in general, I think the lodestone has reduced the amount of teleports maybe a bit too much, at least on the standard spellbook. That's my view on that. So that is something that has been obsoleted.
Also, I think that spell in itself takes too long to cast.
Yeah, and that's the case with many of the lunar spells, is that you have a time, you click, and then you wait for the information to pop up. Then if you accidentally click away or get attacked, the information goes away and you need to recast. So that is kind of annoying. But in any case, teleports. Now, as we said, the price of the dice, I don't even think these are going to be traded on the GE. I think they're going to become forms of currency for buying other things, depending on how rare they are. Like I said, party hat. You get a third age die, you can practically almost buy yourself a party hat. So it's worth thinking that these will probably not be traded on the exchange. So I would imagine the price is going to be a bit different than what we see on the GE itself, maybe.
All right.
Thank you, all of you. If you guys want to send in questions, all you need to do is head on over to the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. The topic is posted on Mondays, where you can post anything to your heart's desire, question-wise, or send us an audio question. Just email it to questions@rsbnb.com. Tech news. You want to take this first one?
You go.
Alrighty. So there's been a study that came out that staring at your phone all day is actually one of the worst things that you can do for you, because as you tilt your head, the amount of weight it puts on your spine greatly increases. So at 0 degrees, it's about 10 pounds. And all the way forward at 60 degrees, it increases to 60 pounds. So basically they're saying is that, yes, there are cases where people who are walking around with their phones and have their neck down are doing damage to their neck and experiencing back pain. So this is something to just keep in mind when you're using your phone or you're walking around with it, wanting to communicate.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, I have much to say about this one.
It's one thing that I really learned a long time ago, when I got the first iPad and smartphone, is that you don't hold it right next to you. You hold it out far enough away so that you can just kind of glance down at it and you don't keep your head at a sane position, let's say. So, it's all about using these things and figuring out how the best way. As you remember in the 90s when people started getting their computers, people were having wrist and carpal tunnel pain because they were using their keyboards wrong. And, that has improved, and keyboard design and whatnot has improved, though you can't change the way a phone is held. But I think people will learn eventually, based on personal experience and things like this. Alrighty. Anything else?
Not much to say about this one. It's just, One, if your eyes starts hurting it really bad after you look at your phone or computer screen too much or too long, a low stare at something far away, preferably green, and once in a while, pop your neck up to stretch it out and, yeah, lean back on the chair.
Okay. Alrighty, next story is about Twitter. Now, Twitter came out in 2006. And the basic design of Twitter was that, there's so many tweets coming in that we can't maintain a search index large enough that you can search all the tweets in history. You can only search the most recent tweets to find something. So if you're looking for something that happened in 2007, previously you couldn't find it. So basically what Twitter has done and is starting to roll out this week is a search where you can search for any tweet that was ever sent, whether it be yesterday or back in 2006 when Twitter was first created. So this is huge, seeing as we can go back and look at certain hashtags and see what exactly was going on with those things at that moment in time. You can search by user, you can search by date. So it is really a good thing to do. So what, like we could go back to the first RuneFest and look at hash RuneFest in what would that have been? 2011, 2010, I think. Something like that. So that is what you're going to be able to do with this. And from an engineering point of view, it's a huge feat.
Okay.
So, and just to give you guys a bit of a bit of an idea as to how large this is, on the RSVNB forums, we don't generate that much data. But our forum database is about a gigabyte and a bit big in terms of its the amount of words and whatnot stored in there for people's posts and the search indexes and whatnot. And that's just one community posting forum topics at not a high rate. So compare that to Twitter, which is generating huge amounts of text. This is a monumental feat in software engineering. So yeah, that is this search thing. So if you're looking for something on Twitter, you should be able to find it now. And there's also some interesting stuff in here as to how this is done if you're interested in the nitty-gritty bits of it.
Okay.
And last story.
Last story is LHCb observes two new baryon particles.
Yes. Which is the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, the one that they thought would destroy the world. Well, it actually spans multiple countries, but part of it's in Switzerland and France. But basically, these are two of the oldest particles that exist, baryons, and they were predicted in the Standard Model of Particle Physics, but they were never seen. So this science experiment that's been ongoing, since 2012, 2011, is just completely changing the way we see science and verifying many of the predictions and models that were out there. So it's a very interesting thing to see specifically with these particles, because it means that if these exist, then some of the other things that were thought to exist are ultimately going to exist as well. And it just provides more energy to actually, well, pardon the pun, to actually go out there and find them.
Cool.
So, who knows what we're ultimately gonna discover with this? I think the holy grail of this would be to try and, maybe find something hugely shocking about the natures of gravity, because gravity is one thing that we understand the least about of all the forces out there. There's the magnetism, the strong nuclear force, which is atoms being held together, atomic bomb kind of thing, weak nuclear force, radiation. And of course, gravity. So the question is, how does gravity fit into all this? And maybe one day something like this will be found. But, anyways, the point of this is that as we go on, there's just huge stories coming out of CERN, and it's very, very nice to see.
Okay.
You have anything on this one?
Not really, anyway. I just think they'll kick out the science, we'll continue to make new discoveries, and we'll go from there.
Okie dokie, skill of the month update. Well, it's looking okay, I think. I mean, we got a race going on. It looks like Flash and Parnassius might catch each other. Maybe not. we got about a week left, week and a bit left in the month. Parnassius is at 3.4 million experience gained. Flash is at 2.3. Artur Dvorak still in third with 987,000. So it should be interesting to see what Flash and Parnassius can pull off for the rest of the month. But the rest of the month, as you normally say, is on life support. Flatlined.
Clear!
And we do not know what the November skill of the month will be. That'll be announced on Monday night. So be sure to check out the skill of the month page in the forums for all the info on that. And anyone can sign up. You just need to be a forum member and have your account ranked.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Next up, let's see. Next up, we have achievements of the week.
Yes. Two of them this week. First up, Jade Gizmo on the 20th with 99 divination. Congratulations to you.
All right. And second, we have Ty Lur, who got 99 range on November 16th. Congratulations, both of you.
Yay.
You know what I found out earlier when I was looking through our high score?
What's that?
I beat Uncle Dana. I didn't know I beat Uncle Dana.
Yeah, you've been trying to do that for quite some time, haven't you?
Actually, I wasn't. Like, what was I doing? How did I, like, okay, I probably got from, it's probably the bonus XP weekend where I ended up, you know, no life being summoning and dungeoneering, but dungeoneering, I only gained like one level. Got a couple of 99s because of, due to PlayerUnknown ports. Heck, I just think PlayerUnknown ports is what kind of got me all the secret XP that I've been getting. Because it's like, huh, I didn't know it was that close. They stack up quick when you're not really paying attention to those.
Okay. Sounds good. Alrighty, do you have a pick of the week?
Fortunately, I do not.
Alrighty. Well, I have a pick of the week. You ready for this one?
Oh, boy.
What?
Go.
Alrighty. So, this pick of the week is another application for the smartphones. It's available on both iOS and Android. It is called World Lens. It used to be a paid application in that you used to have to get the downloaded content in order to, make it actually worthwhile, the language packs. But now the language packs have been made free recently. So the idea behind this is that you can go to a foreign country and look at the signs and, you know, just look at them through your phone and it will automatically translate to what you're seeing. And there's lots of options for languages. There's German to English, English to German, French to English, and vice versa. Russian back and forth, and of course a demo that can reverse the words. You can also get it for Portuguese, Italian, and Spanish. So there's a lot of places, and pretty much anywhere you go in Europe, you will be able to find this. And it's really interesting to say the way it works, because you can actually go to a website. So if I go to the Wikipedia page for Star Trek and look that up, if I, you know, spell it correctly, basically I can translate this to German and it becomes, let's see.
Deutschland.
Sterntrecken ist in amerikanisch science fiction alter-tongue franchise instead of something. But you get the idea. It basically translates to German and vice versa. So if you're in Germany, you could do that. Same thing with this here. Our next segment, what have we been doing? I can pause it so I can look at it after the fact. And it says, let's see. Was haben wir gewesen? I don't know if that's right, but it's definitely German.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely check this out if you're looking for kind of a universal translator kind of thing. Except rather than, you know, voice, it just does it based on what your camera sees. So it's a good thing for deciphering signs in foreign countries and whatnot. I imagine the Russian one would be pretty good to use if you're in Russia, because that is just one language that you cannot really make any sense of based on their Cyrillics, if you've ever, you know, just looked at them and you can't figure out what they're saying. So, yeah, check it out. Free.
Okay, then.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working all week. Next week is Thanksgiving for us American people. But I will be working on Friday, unless President Obama decides to give me the day off. And, let's see. Benares did play it on ports. And, let's see, I'm kind of getting ready for Thanksgiving. A couple things need to clean up around here. And, yeah, that's it. Did I get any levels this week? Get a 100 level? No, don't think so. Nope, didn't get anything levels this week.
Alrighty. Well, as for me, on our S this week, my main thing has been running the Heffen Agility course in the effort to get a Crystal Acorn, which so far has been unsuccessful. So that is what I'm going to continue doing until I get the Crystal Acorn. I know it's not exactly the best use of my time on there, but it's something I definitely want to do, seeing as I am all about farming, and it is level 94, and I feel I should plant everything in-game that is available to me. So that's that. In addition to that, you know, just did a couple of clue scrolls this week, an elite and a hard. To get the hard, I went to the Hellhounds, which is a good place for anybody to go who wants clues, because they just drop clues, and it didn't take very long to get one, probably less than 15 minutes. So that's something you can do. And when I was there, I met the most interesting person that I think I've talked to on RS in a long time. It was this guy. He was level 130, and basically he was there AFK training on them to level up combat stats. And the idea behind it is that we started off a discussion about why I was there, and, you know, the game and combat. And that led to the whole thing, you know, about evolution of combat. And he said that EOC was the marker for him where RuneScape became good versus where it's just okay now. And he wasn't one of those kind of people, you know, who absolutely slandered EOC and, you know, didn't completely get what was going on, because he's actually, you know, played the game since then and understands the system. But we talked for a while, and this, you know, I was able to strike up enough of a discussion with him that we got to a point where the realization that he made, that I helped him realize was the case, is that the game, you know, feels like it loses its magic on some people for a specific reason, and that's because the game was challenging back then. We enjoyed, you know, leveling up, progressing at a nice, decent rate of speed. But when you get to the combat 130 range, your stats are all 90+, it becomes harder to do things like that. And, you know, the game can feel as though it's lost some of its magic on you. So we basically got to a point where we agreed that, you know, it's because we've gotten stronger, the game's equipment has gotten stronger, that's what's made it easier, and ultimately that is what kind of shapes that opinion. Those were the best parts of RS for him prior to EOC, whereas for me, I'd say 2004 or 2005, when I was undergoing a similar process. So the lesson of this to take away is that there's good people out there in the RS community who are just doing things in-game. And you talk to them and, you know, they might seem like they're completely anti-EOC or something like that. But at the end of the day, if you get enough of a discussion with them and you're civil, you can get to a point of understanding where you make them realize something and maybe you realize something in return that the game is good. And it's just a matter of our perception and moving through the game as we grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the lesson of the week, everyone, is that, you know, it's not the game that's changing, it's us that's changing. And it's different for everyone when the best part of RS was. And aside from that, I wrote a piece for Informer entitling Social News Experiment, or The Great Social News Experiment, pardon me, talking about Reddit and Digg and why Reddit is actually a bad thing and, you know, limiting freedom in terms of news and what the actual best strategy is compared to social news, why Digg failed, that kind of thing. That's all in there. So you can read that on our forums. The link's in the show notes at update.rsbb.com. So yeah, that's this week. Definitely read that article. It's a great thing. Okay. Anything else for you?
Anything else for me? Well, all I gotta say is happy Thanksgiving to everyone here in the U.S. side, and happy Hanukkah because it's getting close to that time, I believe. And yeah, get ready for Black Friday.
Oh boy.
Actually, I'm waiting for Cyber Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next week. But anyways, with that being said, yes, we will see you next week for the quest. Thank you for listening, everyone. And if you want the show delivered automatically to you, just hit that little subscribe button inside of iTunes.
Peace.